it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Pompey Pubcast that combines the beers and the blues.
Barros for Pompey. Round Kuchar goes down. Penalty to Pops with an old Trafford. Barros tripped by Thomas Kuchar, who sent off Montari do the job. He steps up, left footed, scores for Pompey. They lead at Old Trafford in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag's deep down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, fantastic, brilliant. Portsmouth Football Club are promoted to League One.
Curtis across the face, a goal. Marquez! He's won it! 96 minutes on the clock. Carter the heading back to Wembley.
This is Three Lads in the Pub.
Episode 5000, who even cares? We're at the end, Three Lads in the Pub. Good afternoon, how are we doing? Jeff Harris.
I'm good, you?
Yeah, good, mate. We're all happy because it's finished. It's finally finished. Ryan Stillwell.
Hello. 3 months rest. 3 months rest. We're fucking chite. No more Tuesday night. 3 months rest.
How long have you been rehearsing that for, mate?
I was in the car on the way over. Out the window, people like down Goldsmith Avenue going, what the fuck's going on?
I saw people running away from Fratton Park earlier as they were leaving. That's it, finally over. This will be probably one of the shortest episodes we do, but I say that, it'll probably be the longest now I've said that. But we're just going to summarise the Wickham game, which ended 2-2 today. We're at the Ship Anson. Lovely vibe in here, very busy on this bank holiday.
Ship on a bank holiday is one of the best vibes in town.
Yeah, I'm liking it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, I'm not a drinker, but I want to get on it now.
Especially in the sun. Like, it's great come down here.
Yeah, it is indeed. Great to be here. One of our favourite pubs in Pompey. But let's go around the table first. Talk about the Wickham game in a second. Let's waste a couple more seconds. What have you gone for, Jeff?
I've got a flint eye.
Okay. A flint eye.
Yeah,
I swear
nice.
They just make these things up as they go along every week. Brendan, you've got a Madria by the looks of it. What have you got?
Aaron?
Who?
Kangaroo juice.
I thought you said fruit juice. Kangaroo juice.
Foster's. Kangaroo juice is a Foster's.
And Moretti over here. And Ryan?
I've gone for a lager, be Christ. I've got a Madri for the first time in months.
Yeah, I know. I was shocked when that came out. I have also gone for a Madri, which I'm well into as well. Right, that's the drinks done. Let's go to the game. Wickham, 2-2. Jeff, summary of the game.
I think first off, I'd like to start with I hope Josh Oluyemi makes a speedy recovery. He looked quite a bad knock to the head, maybe a concussion injury. People were bemoaning, why does he need a stretcher when he stood up? Obviously, the club doctor was on the pitch at the time, and if the club doctor calls for a stretcher, then the stretcher comes on. So look,
yeah. If you watch another angle of it, you do get a good look at it. He gets clumped.
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
a free kick or a foul or anything. It's just two players going for a ball, and he goes in with his head, and it goes badly wrong for him.
And as he walked off outside of the pitch, it was quite visible that he's wearing the oxygen mask and everything else. And what was also notable as well was that Josh's family were in the corner by the south stand at the Fat and End. And I'm assuming it's his partner or maybe his sister, I don't know. But she looked quite concerned with him. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, we like to say, I think we all...
It could have been his sister, Brendan. Brendan's been drinking since 12.
Enough about Southampton fans, please.
It was a rough afternoon for him, and it ended in a rough way, so...
But our best wishes to him anyway.
Yeah. But look, the game. It's... If today's game proved anything, and people were calling for Josh Oluwemi to be the number one in January, that was because the poor kind of run of form Josh Griffiths was having, and people weren't sold on Josh Griffiths. They were calling for Josh Oluwemi, and I think that was because he was the best of a bad bunch at that time in January. But what today's proved is that Josh Oluwemi is not ready. And I'm quite amazed that I've said his name about 10 times and never got it wrong once.
You've come a long way since the start of the season, Jeff.
Yeah. But look, I don't think he's game ready. Now, that is a bit ironic because he needs to play games to get game ready. Do I think he's got a place in the squad? Maybe. Is he any better than Toby Stewart? I don't know. If you are going to offer him another year deal, I think he needs to be loaned out to a League Two side and get that experience.
I think Onwuemi has to be from National League.
Maybe.
Next season. I'll say loan out Tony Stewart next season to maybe, say, Bognor again or Gosborough. Give him some game time, but...
We either need to sign... two goalkeepers in the summer, or you try and go for Matt Macy. You then have Toby Stewart as your backup, and Josh Oluwemi out on like your man said there, National League. At least you can recall him back from the National League. I know you can recall goalkeepers back at any point because of the clause and all that. Like we saw with Josh Griffiths, you know, they can be recalled back at any point. So look, he made two errors today. The first one was the simple pass out to McCleary when he should have just fucked it forward. And the second one was his positioning for Lewis Wing's goal. This taking nothing away from Lewis Wing, that was a sensational hit. And just as he lined up, I actually turned around to Reece and everyone around and went, he's done him. Before he even hit it, I went, he's done him. Josh Oluwemi, he's not the biggest goalkeeper. He's not the tallest. You know, hasn't got a big frame either. And so he is so far off his line that why not? Why not go for a spectacular hit from just inside the halfway line?
By the way,
went in. Look, the Fat and End stood up and clapped that. That was such a sensational.
Just want to
goal.
Say, Lewis Wing, it was a great finish, but nowhere near as good as Matty Taylor's. Thank you very much. Just want to clear that one up. It did give me Matty Taylor vibes, though, didn't it? It was pretty much...
It did, but Josh was definitely at fault for the first one, and I would question his positioning for the second one.
Yeah.
I think, regardless of the poor afternoon he's had, and it was a poor afternoon, it just got worse as the day went on, I still maintain it was the correct call to put him in, because if you can't put him in this sort of game where there is nothing on the line, don't care. If you can't put him in this sort of game, then there's no game to put him in outside of a Papa John's game. Now, the risk you run with that is you might only get 3 Papa John's games a year if you don't get out of the group. And unless this cursed football club decides to go for a thing that begins with a P, you don't even get Papa John's games after that because you don't play in the Championship. So it's the correct call to have played Oluwemi in a couple of league games where things seemed dead and gone. I accept the decision to do it today. I think it's right. It just... on the day itself, it didn't work out for him. But
I don't think that he's
as we saw today, he had the worst of the performances. But once again, he was far from the only one who was below par.
From what I've seen of him, and we saw in the trophy games, he there was no reason not to, like you say, no reason not to play him. He has had a stinker today, and we can all agree on that, and I'm sure he'll agree himself.
Like, but Ryan said, it was the right decision to put him in because you want to see him, you want to see him tested in the league.
There's a dog at the table. Ryan's distracted.
Yeah, talk amongst yourselves.
Look, it was the right decision. It was a decision that has probably made up John Messino's mind. He wanted to see him in the league game and see how he coped. There were some aspects of his game that I liked. He came out a bit Gavin Bazunu-esque. He came out of his box. He swept up a lot higher up the field than what Matt Macey does. And if you are going to sweep up that high up the field, you've got to accept that sometimes you are going to get done. And he got done today by Lewis Swing. He just at that point in time had the wrong position on the field. If you've got the ball and you're in your attacking third, yes, you want your keeper to maybe be outside your box, sweeping up for that long ball. When the opposition have got the ball and turned the ball over, you don't want to be caught on the edge of your 18-yard box, as he was. So there are elements of his game, and I can put that down to lack of league minutes, lack of game action. But look, for me, there were two mistakes today.
Right, food's out, that's it. Thanks for listening to Three Dads in the Pub. Thank you for your support all season. Oh, yes, Ship Hansen. Oh. Brendan, actually, it's a perfect time to give you the microphone if you want to speak. I'm going to eat.
Of course, yeah.
But yourself, Liam, there you go.
I must say, what we've seen from Oluyemi earlier on in the season, like in the penalty shootout versus Aston Villa for the... Aston Villa, but for the extra point during the Papa John's Trophy, he saved three penalties. When we brought him in, when we needed him at Plymouth away, when Macey pulled up injured.
Why is there still food coming?
Oh, man, more food. Good gosh. No, I feel like, Oluyemi, yes, he's made a few mistakes today, and obviously it's not the greatest show when the owners are in the stand. His contract's up in a few weeks. Will he get a new contract at the end of the season? I'm not sure he will, because his contract's up at the end of July. But someone just said the shitty podcast. What disgrace. But anyways, yes. So, I think we'll see two new goalkeepers as the number one, number two next season, and Toby Stewart go out on loan potentially again.
Cheers, Brendan. You're right. How many beers you had? But there we go. We are so distracted. Should we send it there? But yeah, Ryan, your analysis of the game, because you haven't really given us one yet, have you?
Conor Ogilvie could have won this game by himself.
Yeah.
Could have had that trick.
Conor Ogilvie could have won this game by himself.
He could have done, but the competition in his places, we would have won that 5-2.
Yeah. Like I know it's another draw and it's like the 19th draw, and trust me, I'm sick of it because I've watched all the goddamn, or 20th draw. 20th. 1940, yeah, that's right. And I get it because I've watched every goddamn draw, but this was not one of those draws like Oxford or Fleetwood or Shrewsbury or whomever else where we've failed to create and we've actually been lucky to get a point in the end. The chances we've had today, we should have buried them.
It was 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have buried them. You think of the Morel chance at the start of the second half. You think of all the Ogilvy chances. You think of the two goals we've then scored on top of that. We could have walked through this game in terms of the chances we create. So it's odd that a lot of our draws this season have come from very tepid football, very, very flat football, where we've scraped a point and actually felt rather fortunate to get one. I refer to both Morecambe games. I refer to both Oxford games. I refer to both Shrewsbury games. I refer to the MK Dons game. But today was one where we could have bedded Wickham quite comfortably with the chances we actually created.
It's nice to see us actually play well. It's actually nice to see us play well against the top seven sides, really.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it was quite dull at points, but there were certainly in the second half, there were flashes of, right, let's just go and sort this one out. But we just never got around to sorting it out. I thought the first half was fairly dull. And when the halftime whistle went, I just thought 45 minutes to go. I actually somewhat enjoyed the second half, and I
the second half was fantastic.
Yeah, second half was quite enjoyable, and it's like I'd say a third of the Derby game. It's been quite rare to enjoy a Pompey performance for a while. Liam's just so that ultimately though, when you walk away with basically hitting 20 draws in a season, or 19, is it 19 or 20?
19.
19 draws in a season. I've got 20.
It's 19. It's 19.
It is 19, yeah. No, it's 19. 19.
And so, at the end of the day, that is why we are finished where we are.
Well, yeah, because we've only lost 10 games this season. In a 46-game season, we've lost 10. There are only three sides in the division who've lost fewer. As I said last week, it's not our inability.
Peterborough, on the contrast, have lost 17 games,
and they're in the playoffs.
But have only drawn five.
And they're in the playoffs. It's wild to not it's wild to lose so few games, but it's our inability to get over the line. Like I said last week, we're not falling short of the line. We're on the line, not getting over. And today's another example of that for different reasons. Ultimately, as the final whistle blew, I was happy. I hate it because, again, you know, you might listen to me saying, oh, I'm happy that the season's over and think, well, clearly you don't really want to watch this team. Clearly I fucking do, because I haven't missed a minute this season. You understand? I haven't missed a goddamn minute out of the 57 games. I want to be happy at football. I want to go and I want to back the team, and I do. But after 57 games, which led us to where? Fewer points than last season? You're fucking right. You're fucking right. Finished eighth. You're goddamn right I'm happy the season's over. It's not good enough.
We drew more games than what we won. So we won 17 and drawn 19.
We're unbeaten in the last 11. We've won three of them.
Yeah, but being unbeaten in 11 games and winning three, it's such a weird... It's one of the weakest unbeaten records you could have.
It is shit.
And you look at the teams we've played in that run as well. Fleetwood, Morecambe, Shrewsbury, Oxford. Like, you realise that Oxford were... 1-0 up against Aki today. Aki, who were relegated, went 2-1 up. If Milton Keynes had scored a late winner at Burton, it would have sent Cambridge back down. Oxford would have finished, what, on goal difference out of the relegation zone? But yeah, good point at their place. Like, that is the calibre of sides we are dropping points against. That is the calibre of but sides we're getting it's 19 it's draws against. Yeah.
But that's indicative of our... of our psyche. We play to the opposition's level. Derby, we raised our game. MK Dons, we dropped. Oxford, we dropped. Morecambe, we dropped. And because we just have this inability. And we just have this inability to put our foot down and just go and say, you know what? We're going to win this game in the first half. Put this game out to Ben. We're going to see out the 45 minutes. Now, as much as I'm loath to say it, that first season under Kenny Jackett, we did do that. We did blitz teams. We did go out there and go and got results. And then it all went to shit. And it's been mediocre at best since then.
Top of Christmas. And then look at under Kenny Jackett. We're top of Christmas. And then we finish outside the playoffs. So what's happened?
Jackett's fatal flaw was being unable to capitalise on a good start he'd made. The Messina so far and Cowley from his tenure, it was never being able to reach those heights anyway. Yes, we were still second in September, and that's a very good start. You love to be in that position. But I often talk about how long and how grueling and how demanding a 46-game season is. And once again, we've fallen so far short.
These chips are really hot.
I mean, the injuries haven't helped with that 14 games. There's a lot of key players. Baptiste, Ruffy, Pat, Lowry. All not being that tight. All the key players who were in Cowley's when we were top of the league at the back of the weekend, we were playing brilliant at that, and then the injuries happened and it all went to shit. And as we say, it literally went to shit.
Yeah, the injury crisis, almost like a butterfly effect, branched out into so many poor reactions to a crisis. And every decision we made on the back of that injury crisis made things worse. That was the origin point, and things just spread out from there.
Blessing out that whole thing was where the appearance of Jay Mingy came to the point where Jay Mingy should be starting every week in, week out.
Yeah, I'd say the same for Swanson. Swanson's one of the best players in that period.
I know a lot of people.
Exactly. Yeah.
I know a lot of people are holding on to that. injury thing, you know, being a reason we finish where we are. But at the end of the day, the reality is the players, if they've not been good enough.
No.
Again.
Yeah, but even when we've got the key players, they're not performing. They're not doing, like, Marlon Pack. I'm going to be honest. There is not, apart from Colby Bishop being ruthless in front of goal, there's not one player. I can't give a player of the season apart from Colby, to anyone else. No one's even.
Well, that's why he won every award today.
No one has even come close.
If Swanson had been fit, he would have won the awards.
I really do hope Swanson's injury is fine by the summer, because that's the reality.
No one's stepped up. Yeah, and
apart from Mingy, Swanson and Curtis, we've been fully fit since March.
Exactly. So we can't
not won enough since March either.
I'm not buying that. Oh, our injuries have screwed us this season. We've simply not been good enough on and off the pitch. Do you want your microphone?
It's that strength in depth that's done us in. We all boasted in like August how good our strength in depth was, weren't we? We all said, oh, how great it is. And then we had Thompson was injured, Lara was injured, Pat got suspended and injured at the same time. Then all of a sudden, the midfield shot the bits. And then Morel got injured, I think, a little bit around the October time as well. So it was Mingy and Tannercliffe. So we were stuffed. And I'm not pinning it just on that time. But, you know, injuries have killed us. But at the same time, the players who are on the bench and who are part of your squad should be good enough to step in when they're needed. And getting a draw 1-1 away at Morecambe or et cetera and all the other games isn't good enough. Okay. And we should be winning these games.
So who's wise words of our second 11 would win League Two?
Mine, but I stand by it.
You stand by it?
I do, because, and I explained this last week, when you play as League One players in a Tuesday night tin pot competition like the League Cup or the Papa John's against League Two teams, your mentality shifts from being a League One player to, I don't want to be here, this is not my normal, this is not my bread and butter routine. If you're a player in League Two, you have a 46 game season in which that is where your wage packet comes from. The Saturday 3 p.m. is where your wage packet comes from. That's where your measure of success is, not what you do on a Tuesday night in the Papa John's. I maintain if our second 11 had to play 46 games in League Two, 10 months of Saturdays, and that's what dictates your career path, that's what dictates the money you bring home to your family, they would get out of it, because you're not playing Barrow on a Tuesday night in the Papa John's. You're travelling to Bradford on a Saturday 3 p.m. with a playoff place on the line for Bradford and a promotion place for you. There are differences in mentality. It's why non-league players can sometimes get stuck in non-league until a Football League player picks them up and they rock it forward. The evidence of this is Ephraim Mason-Clark at Barnet this year. A couple of years floundering in National League, no one had picked him up. He's a good player trapped with players below his quality, and it naturally affects him. But the moment he gets put into a different mentality, the moment he gets put into a different scenario, Peterborough this season, he won the players' player, not the fans' player, the players' player. And in my opinion, the players' player of the year award is more important than the fans' players of the year award, because ultimately, who gives a fuck what I think? It's about what your teammates think around you. Now, Peterborough are stacked with good players, and they think this guy out of non-league is the best player they've had all season. So I think mentality surrounds much of the everyday life of a footballer. And I think if you were to stick our second 11 in League Two, where it has to be their bread maker, they would still do it.
Speaking of bread, there's some garlic bread here for me. Thank you.
I mean, I could be wrong, but because, you know, I just think it would be a different scenario to playing Wimbledon and Crawley in the Papa John's than playing them on a Saturday. But unfortunately, there's no way to tell, because we're not in that scenario. Well, actually, fortunately, there's no way to tell that scenario. I'm fucking glad we're not in League Two.
Yeah. MK Dons, however.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Oh, look, going back to the game, I thought Marlon Pat's deft header to the back post got us back in it just for half-time. And Paddy Lane, we're starting to see glimpses of what Paddy Lane can do. You know, if we can get dare I say it, Ronan Curtis back in this side. Get him for, honestly, I think Ronan Curtis is the type of player that will complement Lane on the opposite wing. I really do. I know you don't like him, Liam.
No, I didn't say that. That's just your... I had something in my eye. Do you think they give him a new contract?
I think John Mancino likes him. John Mancino's faced him. John Mancino knows what he can do. And I think Ronan Curtis is the type of player John Mancino wants in the side.
But do they offer him a new contract?
I think it's too early. Yeah? They're not going to offer him a contract until he's proved his fitness.
But then someone else could snap him up.
They're not going to take that gamble. He's not going to be back playing until November. And even then, they're gonna want him to prove his fitness. So, would Pompey offer him a play as your play deal for the 9 months? Well,
we seem to like doing that for injured players.
Or whatever. So. Prove your fitness, play a certain amount of games, and then you get a 2-year contract. I think that'd be the sensible option.
Yeah. Ryan, anything to add on that?
I would like to see Curtis get a new contract because I don't want this to be the way his Pompey story ends.
Yeah, you said that, but yeah.
Yeah. I think Curtis has done too much for this club. Whether you like him or not, he has played for this club since the 18-19 season. He is our overall top goal scorer since then. Apart from basically this season, he has returned acceptable numbers in terms of goals and assists. Tangible results. This is the same thing we get on Owendale's back for. You can't come out and say Owendale doesn't put enough in terms of assists or goals, but then ignore it when Curtis has done that for 3-4 seasons. It's a level of hypocrisy that I won't accept. I don't want this to be the way his story ends, and I know there are agents out there who are assholes. I know Omid's not an asshole. I know Omid wants to do right by his players, and I know Omid likes the community of Pompey because he's been on our spaces before. He's a Pompey boy, so he wants Curtis to succeed here. Curtis will want to succeed here because he says he's got unfinished business. He's got a family here now, so I want his story to have a better ending than this. But after 2 years of Jaden Reed, are we adding a? Are we doing this again? Like that? That's the problem we've got. Do we do what's right for the football club or what's right for the community? Like the players of the football club.
But what I've seen of Jaden Reed play in the pre-season, so before he got injured, he's got potential to be a starter for the team.
No, I stand by that. I've seen Reed play. The two pre-seasons that I've seen Jaden Reed play, both haven't games, and online when he's played Bristol City in the Cup. Jaden Reed, I tell you what, this boy, he's got something. There is something, people will dismiss this, but there is something in Jaden Reed. He has got an attribute that no other Pompey player has got. He has got raw pace. To get in behind,
yes.
And I reckon, because I remember watching Havant away at this pre-season just gone, and Mingy was putting these balls, dinking the balls over these fullbacks.
That's right, Mingy won't be here come the summer.
Unfortunately, I love Mingy to bits. Mingy is putting these little balls over the back of these fullbacks, and Reed was touched on the outside on his boot and wicking his balls in, and it was like. I honestly believe that Jaden Reed has got something that we are crying out for.
I would give Jaden Reed another year.
I give Reed another year.
Same contract.
Yeah, there's
another year. There's a lot who
will disagree. I know Jeff will disagree. Ryan might disagree as well. Jaden Reed, I think there is a player in there.
I'm going to hate myself for saying this. Because I like the concept of Jaden Reed. I don't get me wrong. But when you say he's got one attribute no other Pompey player has, I'm sorry to say that's not true. Because how much faster has he been this season than Michael Jacobs? He hasn't, because he hasn't played. But we, you,
Michael
again,
Jacobs being
46 games. he can't even get to the first game.
But today, Michael Jacobs would rather sit in. He'd rather sit between the sticks rather than sit on the left wing. Because Michael Jacobs, you are sitting on the left wing today.
You miss my point.
You are playing left winger.
Even Michael Jacobs.
You hug the left hand wing.
Brendan does not understand the concept of move to create, where you take your winger, you move into the inside channel, you take your fullback with you to allow your fullback to bomb on past you.
My point does not come from the basis of theory. My basis comes from the point of practice.
Has Michael Jacobs been told by John Mussino, I want you to come inside and that? Is Michael Jacobs carrying out the game plan John Mussino's given into him?
How do you know? Nico Kranjčar did the same thing in 2008. I hated Nico Kranjčar back then.
Nico Kranjčar's not relevant to this conversation.
No, but he did the same thing.
Not relevant.
You're playing left wing.
No.
Stay on the left wing.
No. You're wrong, Brendan.
Amount of times Jacobs came in the fucking in centre because
he's told to by John Mussino.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, he's. The ball's going out to Ogilvy for the cross coming in. That should be Jacobs putting the ball in, not Ogilvy. It should be Jacobs.
No, because the concept is your wingers go inside to create space for your fullbacks to go on the overlap and cross the ball
do
in.
Do you know?
That's the concept. That's the concept.
But the thing is that the ball's been played to
Jeff's the coach, I let him have it.
You've misunderstood my point about Michael Jacobs. My point was not how good Michael Jacobs been this season. You mentioned the point of how fast is Jaden Reed. What is Jaden Reed's top speed this year in League One? 0 miles an hour. What is Michael Jacobs? Closer to 15 or 20. The fact is, Jaden Reed might be good in concept, but he is not good on actual grass because we haven't seen it. There have been 132 League One games since Jaden Reed first signed for Portsmouth Football Club. He has played in none of them. We should not sign him. People moan about the budget that we don't have. Well, we're wasting money on the budget we don't have on players who can't play. What? And again, this isn't Jaden Reed's fault. It's not his fault he has no goals and assists and no miles per hour or distance covered or defensive turnovers made. But after two ACL injuries that have robbed him of two seasons, again, my heart bleeds for the guy and I wish him health, happiness and prosperity in his footballing career. But are we the club to do this again? For a third time?
Not for me.
He's got plenty of years ahead of him to move on.
The third time's a charm. Isn't that the famous saying? The
Brendan, we're about to end our seventh year in League One.
I'm sorry.
The third century's a charm.
This club has got to be ruthless this summer. So I'm sure Jay Mingy's out the door. I'm sure Clark Robertson's probably going. If you look at the centre-back pairing over the last couple of...
Let's try and save some of this for the next episode.
Oh, yeah, obviously the next episode's the end of season review. But look,
man, I didn't realise I'd get this heated
this
today.
This club is going to be ruthless, and we can't hang around and pin our hats to sentiment and say, well, he could be a good player. Yeah. Sorry.
There you go. Anything else on today, lads? Anything that stood out for you? You were talking about Lane.
Paddy Lane's first goal, much deserved after today's performance.
And obviously echoing what Jeff was saying, he's taken a while. I was listening to the radio earlier and they were saying he's taken a while. His confidence was shot, to be honest.
Well, John Mussino said that today in the post-match interview, saying they didn't realise how much his confidence has been battered. So I don't know what Scott Brown had fucking done to him, but whatever Scott Brown done to him has obviously destroyed the lad's confidence. But he's coming to a new team. He's got a shot of adrenaline. He's feeling loved. He's feeling welcome.
Yep.
He's feeling wanted.
I'm excited to see more of him.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I'm excited to see what Paddy Lane can do next season.
And it's the type of calibre of player that we were promised as well.
Yeah, I made a comment several weeks ago, said I haven't seen enough of Paddy Lane when he first signed. But over the recent weeks, we're starting to see glimpses. I think that that Derby game gave him the confidence. That Derby game is like, you know what? I can do this, and I can do this at a big club. Let's not forget, coming to Pompey from Fleetwood is a massive step up in itself as well. So if his confidence is low, he's probably self-doubting himself. Am I good enough to be here? I need to prove myself a bit. I've had a manager tell me for 6 months I'm not good enough to play for Fleetwood. Why am I now good enough to play for Pompey? So it's a Herculean task to get his confidence levels back up there. And today, it all clicked for him. You know, would I like to see Paddy Lane taking on the fullback more? Yes, I would. I want to see him go on the outside. I want to see him get to the byline.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
And yeah. I think that's what we'll see in pre-season and we'll see next season.
Yeah.
One thing that...
What you're saying there is like you're basically saying that Paddy Lane, but he has done better for what the Owen Dale has done in the last 6 months.
No, because I think Owen Dale has different attributes. Owen Dale's frustrating because he'll beat the man once and he'll beat him again.
He'll beat the man once, he'll beat the man twice.
Yeah,
but
he can't
cross the shit and he can't shoot the shit. His two goals, yeah, Pompey, but have been tappings.
And that's why he's here, not at Blackpool.
Literally, the ball has hit him and it's gone in. These two goals, Pompey, the balls have hit him and gone in.
But I remember he's a player low on confidence.
I remember.
He was a player that came to us low on confidence.
I caught some flack in October when we played Fleetwood. 1-1 at home, Fratton Park. Karima opened the scoring. They scored from a shit defended set piece in the same first half. Owen Dale missed an open goal, yes, from 4 yards. And why was no one talking about it? Because everyone was still in love with the idea of Owen Dale's work ethic. And I get it. I like a player who works hard. And I like the fact that Owen Dale covers grass. But you need tangible returns on the football field.
We all love Milan Baroš for that 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
But Milan Baroš did not score a goal.
No, I never. I never liked him. Never liked him.
Game day after my mum died. We were playing brilliant. Mum died and we just got back.
My condolences towards your mum, but...
No, I literally blame our town hall victims for mum died.
This is a controversial opinion. I don't think Tom Lowry's all that either. I don't think he is.
No.
He's a tidy box-to-box player, but he, for me, he needs to add more end product. He needs to affect the games more. Yeah, he needs to get more assists. He needs to get more goals. He spends more time on the right wing than what he does affecting the game. And he'll go on the right wing, and he's getting in the way of Rafferty, stopping Rafferty bombing on, and he's stopping the overlap with Lane and everything else. So...
I can't hear you, all I can hear is them. Shut the fuck up.
Hello.
You can't hear anything.
Oh, we're on a private call.
Fuck me.
Oh, what? You can't hear me after the fucking screaming match you two had about Michael fucking Jacobs? Pot kettle black. Get the fuck out of here. I'm done with this shape season, shape podcast.
That's why I had this conversation.
Oh, dear.
Jeff. We've moved on.
People that can hear me on the podcast, I fucking give up. Please save me. I'm at the Ship Hansen. Please come and pick me up. Right, let me move on to the next subject.
Twice to Bolton.
I've comments made after the game because we're still talking about Wickham. Still talking about Wickham, and Messina made a comment which I kind of agree with. If we play like we did today, we're good, and I have to agree.
Thank you. We do tell all we're Wickham.
No, but the chance, I know we didn't convert the chances, but we were creating more. We looked a different side today.
But we still drew.
I know, but...
So if we played like we did today, we're going to draw 19 games
again. I'm going to try and take the positives out of the game. Oh, fuck off, I'm going home. But okay, do you disagree with his comments then?
I think,
know what you're saying.
I think there's a sense of blue tinted glasses there.
You
got to finish those chances. Like we said, Conor Ogilvie can score four goals today. Didn't. we drew. So if we play as well as we did today, we're going to draw games. So you got to be better than what you did today.
Yeah.
Today has to be the minimum standard. Yeah, that second half needs to be the minimum standard.
But Jeff, if they started, we won 2-0.
Would we?
You can't say that.
No.
You can't say
apologies
that.
Apologies if you can't hear anything. It's quite loud in this pub. But
from the first minute, all those incidents do not happen because you've got a different player on the pitch.
He made some amazing saves, but the kick out, back of the net within 30 seconds.
That scenario would never have played out if Macy was in goal.
As you would say, fuck it forward.
Yeah. He just wanted to say fuck it forward.
Right, Jeff, I say this now. Brother Gay was there with the balls in the forward, went, fuck it forward!
So that's Wickham. Let's shut up about that. Are we anything else we want to add on the Wickham game? We've been talking 40 minutes about the Wickham game.
I'm all good.
Yeah. So going forward, like I said, this is going to be a short one because I just want to go and cry in the corner now. My stressful podcast I've done, apart from the one we got heckled at a few weeks ago. Going forward, we are going to do another podcast in a couple of weeks, which is our end of season review, hence why we've been saving some topics, i.e. players, the performances and whole as a whole, and we'll save that for the next one, the end of season review, probably without a manager, unfortunately, this time. It's probably a bit too soon to be dragging John down the pub. I'm sure he probably doesn't want to do that at the moment, but we are going to try and get some people higher up to come on the podcast as well. We are sorting something out. We have verbally agreed something today, so we'll sort that out over the next few weeks. Ryan hasn't got a fucking clue what I'm talking about. I'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah. Okay. Breaking news.
I mean, I did try to tell you.
I'll do another podcast.
I did try to tell you, but you were having a conversation with a bloke over there. But anything else you want to add on today, lads? There's no game to look forward to.
Yay!
I just think we need to sign Deshaun Bernard. We need to sign him.
Yeah. Yeah, Ryan?
Get promoted.
Yeah, Brendan Gone, what do you want to say?
I must say, we all talk about that Riley Towler That Riley.
No, even fucking worse. Turn it around right way. There you go.
Can you hear me in the small bar?
Yep.
Right, Riley. We will talk about that Ryan tentative tackle against Lincoln City, don't we? That big boomer. I thought when Deshaun Bernard sent that bloke to the gym, that shoulder barge into the north stand in the second half, I thought, wow, this is the guy that we need to sign from Manchester United. Do you remember it, Jeff? Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. He remembers it, right? But I agree. Yes, big dish. It's a big thumbs up
for
me.
You know, I said if we ever get promoted, we should do a podcast. We'll have a few more beers. I don't think it's a good idea after today.
Brendan's put us off that
idea.
He
has. You're the reason I don't drink. So congratulations for that.
You trying to get us here sober?
Right, I think we need to wrap there, lads. Is it Dumb and Dish?
Features.
I don't want to do it.
You've got features in the third eye yet, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Loads of Spanish fans.
You've got listeners telling you how the podcast works.
I just want to get out of it.
Yeah.
My man came in with the receipts.
Jeff, third eye, hurry up.
Yeah, so loads of Spanish fans were over supporting Wickham. Apparently, they wrote to every EFL club, and Wickham were the only club to respond to them. So they came over from Spain today to support Wickham.
Yes, that wasn't a Scum shirt in the away end. Right. That was an Atletico. Was it? I thought it was Atletico Bilbao.
It's Sporting Gijon. Gijon.
I thought it was Bilbao.
No, it's not.
Some red and white shit.
It's Sporting.
Gijon.
Gijon. There was nearly 5,000 traumatised kids at Fountain Park today. The reason why, the sprinklers nearly knocked Nelson's head off. Could you imagine the carnage of all the four-year-olds screaming as Nelson's head is rolling across the front part turf?
You mean Nelson's not real?
Unfortunately not.
Nelson is real. We'll have less of this slander.
I was going to say.
And then the last one from today. The announcements for Colby Bishop. I love the way he went, and the Armed Forces supports Player of the Year, Colby Bishop. 10 announcements in. Clan Pompey, Player of the Year, Colby Bishop.
a clean sweep. He won
every
award.
Just
won every award.
Every award.
But it was like, the announcer was like, for fuck's sake, can I just say, he's won everything.
Colby's got every award. Fuck it.
Yes. Yeah, Colby Bishop has received Player of the Year award from the following supporters' associations. Yeah. And you basically rattle off a geography quiz.
It's not been anyone else.
Clan Pompey.
Any other third eyes?
No.
Dubbendin.
So, weirdly, a lot of contenders for Dubbendin this week. Good news for you, Liam, because I know you love being here. This is the only thing I take notes on anymore. We're watching the League One scores in the game at some point today. Dinner of the week, you've got several contenders that go around for clubs getting promoted, relegated, But dinner of the week has to go to MK Dons. From going to the playoffs last year, from losing to Wickham in the playoffs, to getting upwards of £5 million in transfer money from combinations of Matt Smith,
Scott Twine,
Matt Soranola for the release fees. To have all that money and to go down immediately the next season when you were out of the drop zone on the final day. So on the final day, you actually drop in. I've been saying for a long time how badly run a football club MK Dons is. It's a horribly run club. A club of that infrastructure relative to its fan base, relative to the money it brings in outside of player transactions, you need to be in the Championship because you need to have the away fans bringing 10,000 apiece every game to get as close as you can to balancing the books. They are now going to be hosting Barrow next season, all five of them. They are in trouble. MK Dons will be in trouble.
Now known as MK Dins.
Oh, I don't deny that the small portion of Barrow fans that exist heads. Are good, but they won't be bringing 10,000 like Wolves will or Derby will or Ipswich will.
Can I try that again? Now known as MK Dins.
And now known as MK Dins of the week.
Yeah, good riddance.
I've got a nomination for Double of the Week. It's to all the fans who unfortunately have passed throughout this year.
Yes, our particular...
You're going to get dinner the week if you don't talk into the microphone.
My double week is the fans who have unfortunately have passed for this unfortunately shit season.
I know a couple of them sadly who didn't make it to the end of the season. And as we spoke about last week, our little ceremony before the game was somewhat less egregious than Derby's, but we've referenced that. But yes.
There's a lot less names.
That was really weird at Derby. Just see how many there were. But yeah, to everyone who hasn't made it, our condolences to all. As I said, I know a couple of them who didn't quite make it all the way through. Yeah. But the painful nature of life, I guess.
Dub
of the week with a nice smooth segue. Dub of the week. I've got a few contenders for this one. Bury, or AFC Bury, for their successful merger with the old entity of Bury FC. This means that AFC Bury, the Phoenix club after what happened at Bury FC, will now return to Gig Lane. That's good. I do like Gig Lane. It's quite a nice little ground all in all, and it'll be nice to see that Bury gets a return there. Interesting to see how they run Gig Lane, being in the lower leagues. It's a big stadium comparative to where they are, but well done to them. No, they're tier 7, I think, or tier 8. So they're still no. National North is 6.
Well, we at the
they're still a bit further.
Were you
off.
With us when we beat them in the EFL Trophy at that game?
Yeah, 3-0. Yeah,
what a game that was!
I've been there for. I've lost there.
No,
I've
were you with, I meant, were you with us in the press box?
Oh, not in the press box.
Oh,
no.
Okay. No. I was at that one.
I've been there for losses, draws, and defeats. I've actually been in both ends as well because they changed the away end around at one point.
Yeah. Great news, though.
I did actually have Owen Dale as Dub of the Week until today. Owen Dale got Community Player of the Season. So this is a vote for a player's, not in terms of what they do on the pitch, but what they do off the pitch with the fans in the Pompey community. For Dale to win it, I think actually if you look into the factors of how he's won it, is amazing. at the start of the season, the day before we signed him, who became a dad. I can tell you, being a dad is busy work. That man ain't getting a lot of sleep. He's on loan. This isn't his parent club. He doesn't necessarily live in Pompey. He'll be going back to Blackpool in a few weeks. And let's be honest, his loan time here hasn't been brilliant. And as the season's gone on, he's had more and more fans basically where the penny drops in terms of their perception of him. So Owen Dale, new father, very busy, very tired, not had a great loan spell here, and the fact he's got a loan spell here has done more for the community as a player by the community's own judging than any other Pompey player in the club. To me, that is great work. Regardless of his play on the field and what you think of it, for a loan player who's got his own personal shit going on, to have time to be that engrossed with the community, that engaged with the community, I fully applaud that. Well done, Owen Dale. Again, I'd ask how a lone player who's become a dad in August has done that above everyone else. Maybe a few of them might need to take an introspective look about how they engage with the community. Or maybe Owen Dale is just the very best of a very good bunch. I don't know. All I know is Owen Dale got it, and well done to him. But as of today, dub of the week changed to Jay Stansfield. Son of Adam Stansfield, who wore the iconic number 9 for Exeter, died when he was 31 of cancer. Jay comes on loan from Fulham. Gets a little bit of while to get going, but the story is Jay Stansfield is at Exeter in his dad's number 9 as the front man. And on his final day for Exeter, scores a hat-trick for Exeter.
Yeah, fair play.
Oh, what a boy. Not a dry eye in the house. Brilliant work. That is brilliant, brilliant work. Well done, Jay Stansfield. Your dad would have been proud.
Yeah, fair play. That's
fucking brilliant work.
I love a good dub of the week, and that is a clear winner this week. Any late additions, Jeff, from you?
No, all good.
Are you listening?
Yeah,
can you hear me now? dub and din, that's done. Any other business? Any else you want to add this week? Or should we leave it for a...
We'll leave it for the review.
Season review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, pleasure as always. Cheers to everyone that's joined us. Too many names to mention. But thank you to the guys at the Ship Anthem for having us again. Been a great afternoon. Some great food as well.
Ship on a bank holiday.
Absolutely buzzing. Thank you very much to everyone down here. Keith, the landlord especially.
Oh, it's good. It's great fun.
Ryan, thanks, mate.
Oh, mate. You're welcome. It's over.
I've actually heard they want to start the season 2 weeks earlier. No, I'm joking.
Oh, mate.
And keep up the good work in the gym, mate. Because living here in the stories. And Paul Cook's Chesterfield have just taken the lead after a screamer, as you can probably hear by the reaction of Jeff Harris. Jeff Harris, thanks, mate.
See you soon.
Right, fuck you then. No, Jeff. Thank you. And Aaron, cheers, mate, as ever, for providing the beers. And Brendan. What's your name, sorry? Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. Can I come to the season
with you? Absolutely not.
I think the alcohol had you earlier.
No. Oh, Liam.
Right, I'm good at...
Oh, it's good to have you along, mate.
Fair enough.
I'm going to disclose the...
Exactly. It's good to have you along in a
I'm still fucking talking.
Subscribe to Three Lads
in
the Pub.
Yeah. I'm still talking. Right. I'm going to disclose I'm going to disclose the location of the next recording. No, I'm not. Fuck off. See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Three Lads.
It's over. It's over.
If you managed to listen to... fuck me. If you managed to listen to this whole recording... I salute you.
Liam Hannah-Jones.
It has been painful to listen to, but thank you very much, as ever,
Liam
for listening.
Liam Hannah-Jones.
To Three Lads in a Pub, please help me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.